step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 737. I am your stalwart host, Miss Lisa Sheps. I am joined once again by my fabulous co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Nicole.
Back together again.
Back together. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
The weather.
It is Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. On the show today, we have the Archive Theater and their show, Raven Wing Hours, an evening with Edgar Allan Poe. And this is our fall membership drive. And it is time for you to call in and support Co-op. But let's listen to this for just a moment longer. It doesn't matter whether the skies are gray or blue, because you know what? Nicole Shiro is back here in my home.
I am. I'm back in Austin. It's my home, too.
I know. It's our. But it hasn't been for
but
almost all summer.
It hasn't been since, like, May.
I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back, too.
And Kim Simpson, another wonderful international
folk bazaar. I wonder what that last song was, because I was enjoying that thoroughly.
Well, the first song on his show was really fun. It was like, that's verbatim. That's what it sounded
like. I was about
like.
To say, I love your
it was really good. I'm
recap
not very
on
musical.
That one.
Well, welcome back. And anything very quickly, any exploits that you want to exploit here on the show?
Did y'all see
what I did there?
Yeah. No. Gonna get back to go see Back to the Future again. It was that good. Okay. Still talking about it. And I went and took Morgan on her first on a college tour. We went to University of Miami.
University of Miami.
Yeah.
You know, in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It's in Coral Gables. It's right outside Miami, yep. But not far.
Love that. Well, let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us, and then we're going to talk about membership drive. Welcome back to the show, Chris Fontanes.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Nicole.
Thanks you're not in a Zoom box.
Yeah,
I know.
It's
the first time being here at the studio. It's great. I was like, listen, when I came in and I saw all this food out there, I was like, y'all can have me back whenever you
there
want.
You go.
Well, that's membership drive.
It's membership drive. And Chris, I have to say, you're sitting down. And so right now I'm only seeing the shoulder. So to me, you're still in a Zoom box.
2020 memories.
Exactly. We also have Liz Waters. Welcome back. You've been on the show before.
I have. I'm very happy to be back. Now, I was in the studio, so I have not been Zoombox Liz.
Yeah.
So I was here with
Zoombox
Cyrano
Liz is a whole nother person.
It really is. And yeah. You have to worry about the background and cats. It's a whole thing.
I know. And Joe Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. This is my first time.
Excellent.
I think that's obvious.
Wonderful. I should tell folks that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op Radio, the board of directors, its staff or underwriters. It's merely
just us,
our crazy opinion, our wacky theater lefty opinion. So speaking of opinions,
Lisa, you're already on fuego and you haven't even started talking about anything.
It's our membership drive.
It is.
I need to tell people right away that in order to participate in membership drive, you need to pick up the phone and dial 512-472-5667. You can also go to the website and go to coop.org and press the donate button. You know, I was listening to something earlier today and everybody still says www. And why?
I don't need
to say www anymore.
Just, yeah,
people
I know.
Don't say the HTTPS.
No.
No, they don't.
Why do they say...
That's
exactly.
I use that. I like that you use that too.
Well, it used to be, and I don't know whether it still is. There are some websites that if you don't put the www, it doesn't work.
Well, maybe that's why.
That may be old news. But anyway... become members of Co-op. And I need to thank some of our listeners that are early bird givers before we even came on
Elizabeth
the air.
Elizabeth Barrett.
And I, well, Liz Barrett.
I just, that's what I'm reading.
Although here now at Co-op, we just need to call her Liz.
Liz, that's true.
We're not allowed to say last names, but it rhymes with ferret. Thank you, Liz Barrett. We can always count on you. And another person we can always count on from the wilds of Wisconsin, Carol Lee.
Oh, Carol Lee.
Carol Lee gave to Co-op, and she's so generous, and she's been a friend of mine. KOOP.org, and they're going to be doing both things at the same time. We'll get double the money.
That would be fantastic.
Double the money, double the fun, with double mint gum. So here's the deal. We did harmony there.
I know.
So what you won't hear when you call right now is this.
Sorry, he's in a special board meeting. Can't put you through now.
You'll have to leave a message.
It's an emergency session.
He can't be disturbed. I'm sorry.
You'll have to leave a message.
They're in conference.
You'll have to leave a message.
Yeah, so 512-472-5667. Or koop.org. I don't know who the phone answers are, but I do know one of them is Robert Sims of Lights, Camera, Austin.
Another fabulous show.
Fabulous show dealing with film and around the world. And he's
just some really great interviews.
He gets really great interviews, and he knows a lot of people. He's super smart, and he's British.
That too.
Wow.
That's a draw.
All that and a kettle of fish. I don't know.
I can see Robert Sims giggling right
now.
So
the first thing that I want to talk about is a local hero. I'm thinking that you may already know who I'm talking about. But Vincent Hooper, local hero here. He has made national news.
He has.
And I did not realize that this was his Broadway debut, because he's been on the road with Hamilton forever.
Yeah, it was like he was on the road with Hamilton. But it's a good one and a fun one.
Yeah, he's doing Simba
in the Lion King.
Roar!
I was just like, come on, give it to me.
That was utter perfection.
Yeah, right? And they don't want me to do that role.
And here, the best part is, The Lion King is still just as good as it was when it opened. Every time you see it, it gives me the goosebumps.
I'm going to say this out loud.
And fills me with joy.
And people may not. Who here has seen The Lion King?
Raise him.
Yeah, most everybody except Joe.
Whoops.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. That's two. I'm writing these down.
Oh, no.
Amazing piece. I remember I went to see when it first opened on Broadway. I was all skeptical, but by the end, in the first five minutes,
I was like, come on.
The thing coming down the aisles, it's like, oh my God, it is so good. And then when I saw it however many years later in the roadshow here several years ago, it was kind of tired, but it was still amazing.
It's still magical. Yeah.
Anyway, he is starting on Broadway September 26th. That's
in a week and a half.
Vincent Cooper.
Hooper.
Vincent Cooper.
Hooper. You changed his name.
I fixed it.
Vincent Hooper.
He has done everything here in Austin. Most notably, he did In the Heights at Zach, and he was just Benny.
Yeah, he did play Benny from In the
Shirtless.
Heights. Shirtless. I was about to say, the girls were, and the boys and the peeps were yelling. But he's done Great Society there, a few things at Zach, but a lot of his work with Summer Stock and Impact Art.
Exactly.
So those are the two things you'll really know him for. He loves arts education
besides
being talented and creative and just a great dude.
I had the honor of directing him in Ground Floor Theater's very first fully produced production of Parade. I have a recording of it that I'm going to play a little piece of it. The recording is really bad for two reasons. Number one, it was just an archival recording on video, so it's just getting ambient sound. And number two, I chose the wrong microphone thing on my thing when I recorded it. But I just want to play.
But you have it.
This is Vincent Hooper in Parade.
No, we ain't bubble. That's going to say. No, that's what he said.
And what I really loved about working with... Hold on, this is going to fade out. There it goes. Now it's gone. I was a little too soon. Sorry, Vincent. He just got it right away. It's as a director sometimes, and Chris, you can empathize with me on this. Yeah. Sometimes you really have to work to get something out of an actor. And Vincent was right there. All I had to do was like approve his choices or change his choices, and he was on it. And it's no surprise that shortly after Parade, he left for New York and.
Talented little bugger.
I actually gave Vincent a comic book in this parking lot behind us.
Get out of town.
Maybe 5 years ago.
Okay, that's a great story. That's a better story than ours.
It was Batman issue 655 or something like that.
No, I like 654 better.
Something like that. Well, it's the one where the big luchador villain Bane has him bent over his knee. Not the way that you think, the other way. He's breaking his back. But yeah, Vincent and I really... like jived on comic books and Batman specifically. We worked together and he was wearing a Batman t-shirt and I went, you're a nerd too.
That's fantastic.
The fact that this happened in a parking lot, I'm envisioning like opening the trunk, wearing trench coats, like a backdoor deal with the comic
with
books.
With the comic
books.
It
was not that cool. It was not that cool.
But it happened in like this parking lot too.
It did.
Amazing. Yeah.
Well, because I'm guessing y'all were doing something at City. Was it a City theater thing?
It used to be next door to us. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Well, that's amazing. So I'm sending all my love out to Vincent and all his peeps. That's amazing.
Might even go see him in The Lion King.
I might even go see him because he's going to sing, oh, Yamunga.
Well, you want to know what? Casey has never seen The Lion King. It's one he asked me to take him to see.
Seriously.
So, yes, he wants to go to Back to the Future. And Lion King was one of the ones with the Grobes on there. So.
Well worth seeing. Well, and speaking of Grobes, did you see...
So I had tickets to the Grobes when the Grobes had the vid.
Oh, so did you go?
No, I sold my tickets. I wasn't trekking into the city and doing stuff, and I had other things to do, so I didn't
I'm not going into the city for that. This was...
It was him and Anna Lee were both out by, at this point when I had the seats, and I'm like, I'm not going back to sit through Sweeney Todd again, so...
Okay.
And all Casey wanted was the Grobes. I couldn't take that from him.
Yeah. Well, Casey, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, he's excited to come on and talk theater with you.
Good. I can't wait for him to do
it. He's my brother.
Yeah. Water for Elephants. Anybody read the book, see the movie?
I read the book. Yeah.
I read the book, saw the movie. And it was one of the times the movie was okay.
The movie was okay. It wasn't like awful from the book, but it wasn't the book.
No, it wasn't the book. And it never is. Well, it's opening up on Broadway next spring.
I found that interesting.
And it is being... the music director is Jessica Stone. And oh my God. For some reason, my thing... or it's a typo, I think, in the... and I forgot the director's name, who directed also Kimberly Akimbo. So I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's coming up, and it's one of the quotes that the director said was, the show is about the kind of person you are when you lose everything. It's also about chosen family and the choices you make when you with the time that you have. Because a lot of people, I'm seeing some of the stuff on social media, people are going, oh, good, a circus show. And it's not really a circus show.
No.
It's not about that.
No. I'm surprised it wasn't turned into a musical a while ago.
It
seems like when you read the book, you're like, oh, this is one that could be a beautiful musical. So that made more sense to me than the movie. But
well, they did it.
No one listens to me, Lisa.
And I don't know why. I listen
I don't
to every
either.
Word.
I solve the every problems word of you the say. World if people would just listen.
So it had a run last summer, or earlier this summer, at the Alliance in Atlanta. And the Alliance, so many things from the Alliance.
What a great theater, I know.
Mm-hmm. And it is set to begin previews in February of 2024 and open on March 21st. They're doing 4 weeks of previews.
I thought that was a lot.
That's a lot.
That's what I thought.
I mean, yeah. Well, I guess in real life...
Unless you're like Spider-Man, because then you get like 2 years.
You get 2 years. Or Sarah Vaughn. But It's a difference of the world, and I know I talk about this a lot because I'm old, and I go, back in my day, when the critics would come on opening night.
At least you know
what,
how I can respond to that. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Get out of my chair.
Well, so that they now make it so the critics, so previews in theory are set to help you hone the production and make changes as you go, but they need to be finished a week before opening because they allow the critics to come in for the final week of previews. So really, there should be another name for that week. Because the show is pretty much set at that point.
It really is.
Yeah.
Unless you're Spider-Man.
Talk
or
to me.
Or King Kong. I think King Kong was changing stuff too. And they needed to change a lot more.
Exactly. Well, I know
the show. Not the puppet. The puppet was spectacular.
That's
anyway, why you owe.
Water for Elephants has a book by Rick Elise. The score is by Pigpen Theater Company.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. And then the circus design is by Shanna Carroll. I'm gonna go with Shanna.
I was gonna say Shanna. And but you know what? Tomato, tomato.
She's the artistic director of the Seven Fingers, which is a prestigious Montreal-based circus collective.
Aren't they French? French Canadian?
French Canadian, but you know Montreal and the Canadians—that's all Cirque du Soleil folks.
I was like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a. Yeah, they're not spending a lot of money on it. It's only costing $25 million.
Only.
Yeah, I spent that yesterday at Taco Deli. Because they're expensive.
That's funny.
Okay, you know what? I spent all this time coming up with all these things to talk about, and we're never going to have time to talk about everything. Let's just run right to some of the stuff, the good stuff. The NEA has got a songwriting challenge for high school kids. And I'm going to try to find it here on my computer. But it's really interesting. It's also, I said the NEA. It's called the NEA's Musical Theater Songwriting Challenge. This, I think, is their second year where they ask high school students to just write songs that could be show tunes.
Wow. Mm.
That's cool.
And then they submit them and they get feedback from that submission. And then they have time to change it based on that feedback.
Nice.
And then they come in for the competition. And so students can bring it in anytime between now and December 4th. And then they'll select some winners. It does. Let me see if it says how many. It doesn't. But then they will be flown to New York for a concert.
Wow.
I know. Isn't it crazy that they haven't done something like that sooner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I just think that
it's fantastic.
I think that's great. I'm just going to say it's great. All right. I've got a choice of a. Well, let's talk about the Howard Gilman Foundation, shall we?
Tell us about the Howard Gilman Foundation, Lisa.
Well, this is a
Gilman Foundation.
Well, Howard's a really good friend of mine. We went to school together back in the 30s. That's not true.
Yeah.
Of course, searching for the
information on it.
Yeah, because I'm going through days at Gilman Foundation. There it is. It's a foundation in New York that gives money to theaters in New York, basically. But they're teaming up with a group called Indie Space, and they have given 13 small theater spaces unrestricted grants of $10,000 each.
That's fantastic.
Amazing.
And I don't know if people listen here. Those of us that are in the nonprofit world understand when we hear unrestricted, how amazing that is.
Yeah.
And that's money that can be spent on anything. And these are for tiny, itsy theaters. So that $10,000, which might not mean a lot to a big theater like Ground Floor Theater, because we have all the money in the world. but it would mean a lot to a lot of these.
It is a lot. That's fantastic.
I know that we've never heard of them. I'm just going to run through them. Only because I want to say one particular theater's name because I like it. Actors Theater Workshop, Bated Breath Theater Company, Chain Theater, Culture Lab, Footlight Presents, Hub 17, IATI, IATI Theater, Land Back Hub, Mise en Place. That's the one I wanted to say.
That's a good one.
Which
that's
everybody knows.
That's the chefy in you.
Everybody knows that just means everything in place. PMT House of Dance, the Fantastic Experimental Latino Theater Incorporated.
Nice.
Topaz Arts Incorporated and Weiss Acres. Oh, God, Weiss Acres. That's cute.
Isn't it?
Didn't get that when I saw it before. I just wiseacres.
They got any more of those 10,000 grants, $10,000 grants laying around somewhere?
Well, I'm saying this out loud because that's specific to New York City, and I think these organizations are organizations that would not be able to get city funding and things like that. And we, although it's changed a little bit right now with the current funding model, where you don't have to be in existence for 3 years before you are eligible to get money. But this is made for those theater companies. That this is what I talked about when I started Ground Floor. Is like, there's nothing out there to just help me get started. They all want you to be established. And this is a program that helps people that aren't being helped by the other funding mechanisms out there. And I think it's really great. They received 53 applications. This is what I don't understand. So after the 53 applications, they were given weighting scores by a committee, and then all of them were chosen at random in a lottery.
What?
Yeah, that's what the article says. I think it's missing.
What did the committee do?
I don't know.
Drew the pieces of paper out of a hat.
Maybe.
Yeah, right.
I'm guessing we're missing something in the article.
Maybe the committee chose the people to be finalists. Everybody submits,
no,
and the committee
specifically says all applicants. It specifically says all applicants.
Well, I was trying to make sense out of it all. But
there,
you know what would make sense?
Here,
if someone called 512-472-KOOP.
That's true.
And pledged to...
Pledge. We're going to have plenty of time to give that number in just a second.
I just wanted,
yeah,
you know.
But point taken. 512-472-5667. Okay, that's our pledge break for that. Now we can just talk about theater. We don't have to do that anymore. I'm going to talk about one more thing, and then we will take a real pledge break. Yeah, we're going to end on a fun note. Again, you know, hearkening back to my little thing about the opinions are not... Lauren Boebert.
You're going to talk about Beetlejuice, aren't you?
I'm going to talk about Beetlejuice. Lauren Boebert. Boy, do I love that woman from an entertainment standpoint.
She does give material.
She got kicked out of a production of Beetlejuice.
Yes, she did.
Did you happen to look at the security video?
Of her getting escorted,
yeah,
out.
It wasn't very interesting, but...
No, it wasn't. I was all like, well, where's the drama?
Although, there was no drama.
No, there was a lot of hand gesturing, yeah, going on in
there
the
was
lobby
no audio.
By that point, but yes.
For those of you who don't know who and Lauren Boebert...
I was surprised how many people kept watching the play.
I would watch the play. I would.
If that was going down right next to you, not one person was watching.
No,
she gets enough attention already.
The person in the aisle right next to them, their eyes were glued on them. But it also didn't seem like, so this was the security footage that we're seeing is infrared footage. It was dark in there.
Yes.
And there wasn't a lot of hand waving. So it was really just looked like theater personnel talking to some patrons. And then they were escorted out.
And then
out.
They were all leaving.
She is a congressperson from
Colorado.
Thank you. I was about to say Illinois, but I knew that was wrong because this happened at the Denver Theater Center. It says in this article, quote, her campaign office, while disputing the alleged behavior, confirmed that she was escorted from the theater on Sunday night during Beetlejuice. She was accused of
took a photo.
Photo,
she was singing
along, and then something else.
Mm-hmm. I forgot what the other thing was, too.
Speaking of singing along, and I don't remember what it was, but I saw an article about some show, and I don't know whether it was in New York. It probably wasn't, but it was a sing-along production. It's like they welcome singing. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm all for that. And I might even go, but I don't want to hear you singing Chorus Line while I'm trying to watch a professional do Chorus Line.
Mm-hmm. That happened to me when I saw Les Mis when it came through Austin. The whole time the girl was singing next to me, and I finally had to turn to her and be like, I'm sorry, would you please not do that? I have paid. My husband has never seen this. We have paid for these seats. We want to hear the professionals sing. And then they moved after intermission. I was like, okay.
In fairness to them, it was Phantom.
Oh my gosh! You are totally right. No, gosh, now my husband's gonna be like, see, we haven't seen Les Mis yet.
Les Mis, sorry. You said Les Mis. I heard Phantom.
Oh, I said Les Mis.
Yeah, no.
Okay. I'm like, I'm not going crazy, am I? I
might be. So yeah, we are in the middle of our fall pledge drive. As Nicole just mentioned the telephone number, but you'd also
you know what? I would love to be like
Liz. My plan is to move into her area of the country.
Well, Liz,
you know that
Liz is rocking and rolling.
Okay, I like
help you make that happen.
I like both of those things.
It's a great name too.
So let's talk about the Archive Theater and their show Raven Wing Hours, an evening of Edgar Allan Poe. And
we do love the Poe here.
And I know we've introduced them, but Chris, you are the director
of
this production.
Yes.
And then two actors, Liz Waters, who's playing Virginia, and Joe Kelly, who's playing Ed.
Ed.
Yeah, that's how I know him. That's Edgar Allan Poe. So tell us, this is a devised piece by Archive Theater, right? Y'all put this together.
Right. It's basically an adaptation of six different Edgar Allan Poe stories that was
adapted was the word I was trying to come
yes,
up with.
I was like, yeah, adapted by Adriana Fontanes, Jen Davis, and
any
myself.
Any relation?
No, but she's the only other Fontanes that I've met in the wild. Our names are spelled the same, except hers is with a Z at the end, mine's with an S. So maybe
it's like Gonzalez and Gonzalez.
Exactly. Yeah.
I heard the difference.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I was like,
so it's an adaptation of several, and you are credited with being one of the adapters, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, when I came on, the script was still working on it, and I took a look at it, and I was like, you know what, I'd really like for there to be in here the Mask of Red Death, which is my favorite piece, and they were basically like
the one where everyone dies.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, you go ahead and adapt it then. So I went ahead and I was like, it's only like six pages, and there's not a whole lot of dialogue in Poe's work. It's mostly just exposition and descriptions and whatnot. So trying to craft something theatrical out of Poe's work proved to be kind of challenging.
So I'm actually not familiar with that piece. And I'm going to guess I'm not alone. What's the story with that?
The Mask of Red Death is about a prince who, during a time of plague, basically, which they call the Red Death, he decides to hole up in his castle with all his friends and to basically not care about the people in his lands who are suffering and just basically let them die. And he's in his castle looking out onto everybody just dying and suffering and having a good time with him and his friends. And like six
Lisa
months.
Lisa does that every day.
And then there's six months into their seclusion, they decide to throw this mask, this ball, right, with all of he and his friends. And there's all these different different colored rooms, and anyways, not to spoil anything.
Yeah, don't spoil anything. We need to.
But it doesn't end well.
Put it that way. Surprise.
And that's the essential aspects of my 6-page monologue. Thank you, Chris. I don't think I need to perform anymore in the rest of the run. Have a good day.
So, Joe, you're playing Edgar Allan Poe,
indeed.
So it's. I'm guessing it's. There's kind of a thread or something that weaves these stories together, because
yes.
I don't know that his poems they're done in first person, but it's never him saying it.
Right.
Well, Poe had a pretty intense life, and the stories that we chose reflect a lot of aspects of Poe's life. And there are moments where Poe is in the scenes. There are moments when Poe just introduces and leads out from the scenes. But there's a lot of like interplay of like what is coming to life intentionally and what is just grabbing the reins and taking Poe for a ride.
Great. And so do you also play other roles as well, or just Poe?
Not to spoil too much, there is a moment where Poe, whether he wants to or not, ends up...
Can't help himself.
He can't help himself, yeah.
Very much so, right, like, writes himself into his work. Very personal.
Again, Lisa does that every day.
I do that every day. And Liz, you're playing Virginia.
I am.
Tell us about her.
She is the one that tells the story of the Mask of Red Death.
Oh, okay. 6-page monologue.
Yes, it is. Yep. I also play Berenice, and I also play the Raven. So many of the actors in the ensemble are all cast in multiple roles, and we all play the chorus together as well. It's a very ensemble piece. While Joe and I are the ones standing here in front of you, I mean, truthfully, it's every single person in the cast that pulls it.
How many people in the cast, Chris?
Oh God!
I can tell
six,
you,
seven.
I have names.
I remember like six or seven names, but you know.
Joe Kelly, Lith Walters, Waters, sorry.
Happens in my mail too.
Remy Joslin, I don't know her. Gina Houston, Julius Alums, Travis H. Williams, Rebecca Greaves, Merrick Milburn, Nas.
Yes.
Love that. Oh. And then chorus. And you have live musicians.
We so do. It's, like it's actually eight, the first nine, time nine. I've ever had live instrumentation. It's always been a dream of mine, so this was... Check one thing, Vicky Schwartz, Chris Humphrey, doing the live instrumentation as the co-music directors, and were so like accepting and open-minded when I sent them just a bunch of weird sounds. That wasn't really necessarily music. I was like, what would it sound like if...
The feel, you're like, the feel.
Yeah, what would it, you know, a violin bow on like a saw and just weird sounds. Oh, okay. And they were just so like, took all of these weird ideas and... interpreted it into like this really cool, very different soundscape.
So the music is all original.
It is.
That's amazing. Fantastic.
That's great. One
awesome.
Of the names in the musicians list took me by surprise, and that was Ev Lunning. Did
really?
Not know he was a musician.
Yes, plays the cello.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. I love the cello.
I love that. It's a jam. The artwork is really cool.
Yeah, it's very, very poetic. Well, now y'all are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
We are, yes. A little, so like I said, Raven Winged Hours is about, you know, six different pieces. And I think there's going to be pieces that people are familiar with Poe's work, like Telltale Heart, The Raven, Mask of Red Death, but also maybe some lesser known pieces like The Oval Portrait and a little snippet of the scene we have, which is from a piece called Berenice, which is a great piece for people who are scared of the dentist.
Oh. That's me. Well, wonderful. So this is Liz Waters and Joe Kelly doing a scene from Archive Theater's Raven Wing Hours.
Misery is manifold, Berenice. Evil is a consequence of good. So, in fact, out of joy is sorrow born.
Nonsense, Aegeus. There is no agony or anguish in this moment, only joy.
I have so much to do. So much to read.
My dear Aegeus, you have been locked in this chamber, reading nonstop, barely eating, barely sleeping. Come with me. Enjoy the fresh air. Live for just a moment outside the four walls of this library.
How can I? This chamber and its volumes, it's all I've ever known. It's a fairyland to me, a palace of imagination.
It's stagnant. You are completely stuck with your nose in a book. It is self-destruction in the smell of mildewed pages. You have not lived!
I have lived, every day through the writings of others. Go, roam carelessly through life with no thought to the shadows in your path, or the silent flight of the raven-winged hours, like some nymph amid the shrubberies.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I do have to say... And not to like go in a completely different direction of this show, but I just watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, yes,
and when
yes.
I hear the word shrubbery, yes, I just yes, go straight yes. there.
Unavoidable.
Pops in my brain every time. I'm like, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. It sounds like a lot of fun. So, and is music underneath?
Oh, yeah.
And this is, I'm actually, if you were seeing, you could see I'm
you're
bowing
doing
a saw.
The bow. I was like, I got exactly what you were doing.
The music is so cool. It like underscores, plays in between scenes, and like melds into sound effects too. There are moments where like I'm on stage and I hear like bones rattling. And where's up? Oh, that's of course the musicians.
I love bones rattling.
And it really does help drive our characters as well. You know, I mean, rehearsing in a space, of course, you know, you get those in your bones, and all of a sudden you hear this music and you're like, oh, this is a whole other level that I hadn't even thought about. And it just adds so much.
Well, wonderful. So now we know that Edgar Allan Poe is the king of the macabre, and this is all macabre. But let's just, if I'm not a huge macabre fan, am I still going to enjoy this show?
I think so. It's a very visually like fascinating show. There's a lot of movement, like Joe and Liz talked about. There's a lot of chorus work, and it's basically this fragmentation of Poe's dreams and his psyche and all of these thoughts and regrets and whatnot come out and are manifested in his stories and his poems. And that's kind of what we're seeing. It's kind of this gradual descent. It kind of starts off very normal, but as the play goes on, especially in Act Two, it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier.
It's a feast for the senses.
Yeah, very much so.
I also love how many people have been laughing at parts that we didn't expect people to laugh at. It's wonderful.
And,
like,
and gasping too.
Absolutely.
The first night I was there, in a couple parts, you'd hear the audience, you know, which was a great feeling.
So y'all opened last weekend. Mm-hmm. How have the houses been? Have they been good?
They've been really good. I think there's something, you know, I think people here yearn for fall and yearn for it to be like a true Halloween. And this is a great way to like get started. I think there's just something really cool about seeing these works come to life in a, you know, 110-year-old haunted dance hall.
Right. So that's the thing. So you're out at Pioneer Farms in their haunted dance hall.
Yes.
Which I love. Do you know by whom it is haunted by?
I don't know.
Yeah,
ghost spirit.
There is a whole website that does talk about the different hauntings that have like happened there. People describe their stories, and there's actually several apparently.
Yeah. So, so you're at Pioneer Farms, but only until September 17th,
right?
And then you move.
We are.
Then Where are you going?
We're going over to the Wells Branch Community Center in Wells Branch.
Yep.
And we'll be there until October 1st.
Wonderful day before my birthday.
Hey.
Birthday. There you go. Well, great. It was so I'm so happy to have y'all on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Tell folks where they can go to get information about this show.
Yeah, so you can go to thearchivetheater.org, and that's theater with a E-R.
Yeah, y'all spelled it the wrong way.
Lisa's going to tell you it's the wrong way.
It is spelled Archive Theater. The Archive Theater.
Yes, thearchivetheater.org. That's right.
And you can get all the information there. They got a lovely website, and you can see a lot of information about the show. And you can see this lovely picture here, whatever this is.
The Bust of Palace.
Which Trace Turner, when he was there, said, "I have a note for you. That's not Palace."
Oh, okay.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Well, somebody
that's
else.
Heartbreaking.
I think it's Larry.
The raven approached and perched on Larry.
Yeah.
That's right. So, well, great. Best of luck with the rest of your run, and I'm so happy to have y'all on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So that was Chris Fatanes, Joe Kelly, and Liz Waters of the Archive Theater, Raven Wing Hours, An Evening with Edgar Allan Poe, playing September 7th through October 1st in two different places at Pioneer Farms and Wells Branch Community Center. For more information, you may visit thearchivetheater.org. And this little piece of music is from Nevermore, and it's called The Raven. Nice. We'll be right back.
Once upon a midnight dreary
on the Art Spark ATX Radio Hour with Celia Hughes and April. And their guest next week is Bob Tolero.
That's fantastico. Bob Tolero.
Robert Tolero has been on this show a whole bunch of times.
Stage manager extraordinaire.
And director extraordinaire. And he founded or worked with a company, a deaf theater company. He's fluent in American Sign Language. And he works a lot with the disabled community.
He's Bob Tolero.
He's got a just big, kind big of heart. Everything. Yeah.
One of the biggest hearts of anyone I've ever met.
Absolutely.
I agree, Lisa Sheps.
And Bob Tolero dialed 512-472-5667, and he became a member of Co-op. Yeah. I'm sure of it. I don't know it for a fact, but I believe so.
I don't believe you're lying. I believe you're truthful. Your nose didn't grow.
It didn't. You know, I didn't say, oh, maybe I did. When we played The Raven, that was from Nevermore. And a few years ago, pre-pandemic, Dr. Mista did a production of Nevermore. You know, I've seen a lot of Dr. Mister stuff. That was by far my favorite of all of his.
He likes the fun and creepy. He just did the Lizzie Borden.
He did do with Seven Wax, which I didn't get to see. I heard good things about it. Mm-hmm. That was The Raven. And what I didn't say, the very first song we listened to was from Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
It was a great song choice.
It Might As Well Rain Until September. And I did that because when I went out this morning to walk my dog before the sun came up, and I look on my wooden deck and I see little dots all over the deck.
I'd like to say that I packed it with me and brought it here.
I hope you did.
It was all me.
Oh, I did forget to ask Chris. You know, it's supposed to rain for the next couple of days, and their show is outdoors. Well, but it's under a canopy. I believe the rain is.
I know that, but it's, you know, it was supposed to rain almost all day today, and it's only been little teeny bits of drizzles. And who knows? One place north doesn't rain south. You know, who knows?
Yep. All right. We're going to play a little song to let you dial 512-472-5667, and we're going to come back. Ooh, excuse me.
If the phone's not charged, just go to koop.org.
Absolutely. And we are, you know, I feel so fortunate to have this show, to work with Nicole. I'm so fortunate to have you back and to be in community with all of our listeners. I feel like I got a golden ticket.
I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden sun up in my sky. I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say good morning. Look at the sun. I never thought that I would be slapping the lap of luxury.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I was just dancing up a storm in this here. Dancing up a storm. Yeah.
I wish I had seen that version with Christian Borle.
Christian Borle? Yeah, yep. I know. You and me both. Yeah. I agree.
All right. Let's. I hope we gave everybody enough time to go to koop.org or dial the phone 512-472-5667.
Yep.
All right.
Robert
here
just
locally
was in the window saying, I'm waiting. Call me.
he's begging you. He wants to. He wants
to give you that charming English accent.
He wants to have a phone call that goes something like this.
Hello? Oh, hi, Diana. Nothing, just baking cookies. No, I wasn't afraid. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Oh. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. We're like running completely out of time. I'm just going to run through somebody who is supposed to be on the show today and do a communication error didn't work out. Gaslight Baker Theater has the Texas premiere of Somewhere from September 8th to the 23rd. For more information,
Gaslight Baker Theater.
Gaslight Baker Theater. Just Google that. And it is directed by Eric Beck. So really quick, like, here's what's going on local before we do our last little pitch. We just heard from Raven Wing Hours. Pipeline is still playing over at the Master George by Alchemy Theater through the 30th. Hyde Park Theater Caught, which I saw, worth seeing, folks, plays till the 23rd. Deaf Austin Theater's Laramie Project. Now, I just want to take one moment to say that. You know, a lot of us think that as a hearing person to go see a show done in sign language, you might be missing something, but nope. You don't in this case. Everything is voiced, and it's really wonderful. Definitely worth checking out from September 7th through the 16th. The City Theater opens No Exit by Sartre, which I just like to say that, from the 15th through October 1st. Over at the Zach, a brand new Sarah Saltwick play, The Girl Who Becomes Legend, from the 15th through October 1st, directed by Liz Fisher.
And co-commissioned with the Kennedy Center.
You're right. It's a Kennedy Center piece. Mm-hmm. And then what's the other thing that
opens?
And
then also opening tomorrow night, running through October 1st, is Hershey Felder as George Gershwin Alone over at the Zach Theater. And Hershey Felder is known for playing different composers and writing these pieces and doing all the Gershwin stuff. And Gershwin's fascinating. Died way too young.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're plumb out of time. I just have time enough to convince you to pick up that phone and dial 512-472-5667. We're going to be making way for the Austin Cooperative Hour and the person we've been talking about ad nauseum here on the show today, Robert Sims and Lights, Camera, Austin.
He's with us now.
He is indeed. He's sitting right here and he's going to be coming up with his show. We have literally 2 minutes left for you to help us meet our goal. We are almost there. We're like pennies away. 512-472-5667 or www.koop.org. You don't have to do www. Just do it and, you know.
Don't wait.
Support community theater, support community radio. Support them both. 512-472-5667. Nicole, I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back, Lisa. I have missed you.
Okay, well, we're going to come back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And then we're going to take you away with the marvelous Wonderettes. And I know that during the next minute, you're going to call in and we're going to be able to say thank you and good night. And that's what we're doing right now. Bye, folks.
Thank you and good night.